Could we turn to the 26th chapter of Acts, verse 22. Having therefore obtained help of God, this is the Apostle Paul, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come, that Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead and show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. And as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad. He said, I am not mad. Most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth of these things, before whom also I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none, he says, that none of these things are hidden from him. For this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And this is a lovely verse. And Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day, were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds. We'll turn to the first epistle to Timothy, where scriptures that we are studying in the Bible reading. Verse 8 of chapter 1 of the first epistle to Timothy. We know that the law is good, if a man use it lawfully, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless, the disobedient, the ungodly, for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for warmongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men-stealers, for liars, for perjured persons. And if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, and this is a sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust, and I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who has enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer, a persecutor, an injurious person, for I obtained mercy, because I did it ignorantly. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant. With faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying. This is a faithful saying. It's worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life eternal, everlasting. Now unto the King immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honour and glory forever and ever. Amen. The next epistle, the second epistle of Timothy, verse 8. Be not thou therefore, the first chapter of the second epistle of Timothy, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel, according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his purpose of grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now manifested by the appearing of our Saviour, Jesus Christ, who has abolished death. He's abolished death, brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereon I am appointed a preacher, an apostle, a teacher of the Gentiles. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, and this is the word that I am particularly attracted to. He says there, nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, not what he believed. I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. We turn to another short scripture in the third chapter of John's Gospel. The third chapter of John's Gospel, verse 28. This is John the Baptist speaking. Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly, speaks of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. What he has seen and heard, that he testifieth. And it's the testimony of our Lord Jesus that I want to speak of tonight. He says, no man receives his testimony. He that hath received his testimony hath set to his seal that God is true. For he whom God has sent speaketh the words of God. For God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. The Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things unto his hand. And he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son of God, believeth not the Son, shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. The gospel is all about the person. All about the person. In the first chapter of Romans, I'm very fond of Romans, the apostle begins with these words. He says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. And then in italics it's got, which was promised aforetime by the prophets in the scriptures. In the third verse it says, concerning his Son. The gospel's all about Jesus. Amen. Concerning his Son, who is come of the seed of David. He was of royal descent. The Lord Jesus was not just a man, he was that. He was a wonderful man. He was a wonderful man, and all that I admit it. Even the Pharisees, the Sadducees, all of them. Man's wicked. There's no man good. He says to the lawyer, the young lawyer that came to him in the 10th of Luke, why do you call me good? Why do you call me good? The Lord asks the question to us, you know, why? Why do you do things? Not what you do, or where you go, but why? Why do you call me good? There's none good, he says, but God alone. Well, it says it's concerning Jesus Christ, our Lord, who has come of the seed of David, according to the flesh, for he was declared to be the Son of God, with power. The Lord Jesus was the Son of God. It was the Son of God that walked the streets of Jerusalem. According to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. What a wonderful Saviour. Hallelujah. What a Saviour. I wonder if all you in this place knows our Lord Jesus Christ as the Saviour. Do you know him as the Saviour? Well, he says in this lovely passage of scripture that we've read in John's Gospel, John says, and you know, John was a marvelous man. He prepared the way. Preparation works hard. You take it from me. It doesn't matter what you put your hand to of preparation. It's the hardest part of the job. Prepared the way. And the Lord said about him in the 7th chapter of Luke, of all the prophets, he says, there's not one greater than John. And listen. Listen to what he says. He must increase, but I must decrease. He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly. Earthly. Terrible state as well, you know. The turmoil and the corruption and the rebellion and the robbery. The world's full of rebellion. It's full of robbery. And it's bankrupt. Recession. There's no recession with the Lord's people. I don't have any recession. But my currency is not dollars, and it's not marks, and it's not pounds. Currency is his love. And it's been deluged into my heart. God's love, it's been deluged into your heart. If you come and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. So he says, he that cometh from above is above all. What he has seen and heard, he testifieth. He testifieth. What a wonderful testimony. We talk about the testimony of Paul. We talk about the testimony of great men. And their testimony was good. Isaac Watts, Martin Luther, Charles Wesley. None come up to this. He says, he testifieth, and no man receives his testimony. It says so in the first chapter. Came unto his own. His own received him not. His own received him not. He didn't only come into the world. He came to people. The Lord Jesus came to you and me. He come to people, and he came before you, he said those words, come unto me, he came to us. Why did he come to you and me? Man is a total wreck, can never reach the shore. All who trust in Jesus Christ are saved evermore. Amen. Saved evermore, and there's no salvation outside of him. What a wonderful Saviour. 64 years. I've had fellowship with him. A long time, you know. A long time. But he's a good shepherd. He says, the psalmist says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. Thou art with me. Thy staff and thy rod to comfort me. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Oh, friends, put your trust in our Lord Jesus. He's not far from any one of us, you know. God's not far from any one of us. And he's God. Remember, he's God. He's spoken to you. He's spoken to you often. Perhaps after you've had a experience of some serious sorrow. And we all have to have it if the Lord doesn't come. If the Lord doesn't come, we all have to, we don't know tomorrow. We don't know tomorrow. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. But if you haven't come to Jesus, you come to him now. I would like to just run over some of the works of our Lord Jesus in this beautiful Gospel of John. The first chapter is all his glory, his moral glory, his beauty. It begins with, "In the beginning was the Word was with God, and all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made, and in him was life, and the life was the light of men." He was the light of men. It says, "The light shone in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." And then further down it says, when it says that it didn't come to him, he says, "For as many as came to him, to them give he the power to be the children of God, even to them that believe not on his name, who were born not of blood, not of the will of man, not of the flesh, but of God." Then in the next chapter, they run out of wine, they run out of sorrow, out of joy. Wine speaks of joy, they run out of it. So he says, "There's 7 jars of water there. Fill them up with water." And he changed that water into wine. And governor, he says, "How is it that the best wine's been left for the last?" It was Jesus that had brought it in, wasn't it? And then in the end of that chapter, it says many believed on him when they saw the miracles which he did, but no one... But it says the Lord wouldn't commit himself to men because he knew men. He knew all men. He knew what... He knows what you're thinking. I don't know what you're thinking. You don't know what I'm thinking. You have an idea from my speech, what I say, what's on my mind. But you don't really know what's down below, but he does. He knew what they were thinking. He knew it in the 7th of Luke when Simon... says, if this man was a prophet, you would know that this woman was a sinner. And he says that he knew what he was thinking. So the Lord Jesus turns to him and he says, "I've got something to say to you." The Lord Jesus knows what's going through your heart and mind right now. But let's go on and study this wonderful person, because the Gospel of John is the person, it's the Son of God who's manifested God. He's revealed God, he's shown us exactly what God is. He hasn't only told us what God's like, he's revealed him. He's revealed him. So in the next chapter, there's a rabbi, a teacher. He would be a bright man, you know, being a rabbi. They're not ignoramuses and rabbis. I know quite a few that lives around where I live, and they know a thing or two. And he says to the Lord Jesus, he says, "We know that thou art the teacher come from God, because no one could do the miracles that thou art doing except God be with him." He says, "Nicodemus, you must be born again." That was a strange answer to the question he had asked the Lord Jesus. He says, "You must be born again, Nicodemus." Nicodemus says, "How can a man be born again? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" The Lord Jesus says, "Nicodemus, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom." Cannot enter the kingdom. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy. The kingdoms of the world know nothing about it. I know nothing about justice, I haven't got any righteousness, and don't know nothing about peace, and I certainly haven't got any joy. So the Lord Jesus says to Nicodemus, except the man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom. And the conversation goes on, and that the Lord Jesus says, Nicodemus, that which is born of the flesh, it's flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Then he goes on to say, now as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. So must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have an everlasting life. And then that lovely verse, it's still the best verse in the Bible, or almost, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. God wants every man to have everlasting life. Says so. That's why he loved the world. He doesn't want anyone to perish. You were reading that this afternoon. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Acknowledge the truth. Then the woman, in the next chapter, the Lord Jesus was weary with his journey. Wonderful Saviour. Wonderful Saviour. Weary with his journey, sat this on a well. And a woman came. Midday. Awful woman she was. Came at midday. And he says, give us a drink of water. The Son of God. How is it? How is it that thou askest drink of me, a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have got no dealings with the Samaritans. The Lord Jesus turned around to her. You know what he said? He says, if thou knewest the gift of God, the givingness of God, God's the great giver. The great giver. I wonder why God doesn't put the brake on in the state of the world. They've got no thought for him, no thought for his son, no thought for his children, no thought for you. They've got no thought for me. Well, I don't think anybody has any thought for me. Never mind the world. He says, if thou knewest the givingness of God, and who it is that saith unto thee, give me to drink, thou wouldst have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Living water. Not this. Living water. He that drinketh of the well, of this well, shall thirst again. But he that drinketh of the water that I shall give him, shall never thirst. Of course, it's all spiritual. He says, God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. I think we get the spiritual side of the gospel all through John. We know in the 14th, 15th and 16th chapters that he tells them that the Comforter is coming. And he when he goes away, he says, well, don't go away, the Comforter won't come. And in the 7th chapter, on that great day of the feast, he stood up and cried, if any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly will flow rivers of living water. Do you believe on Jesus? Have you put your trust in him? And you know, it'll be seen, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. This spake he of the Spirit, which had not yet come, because Jesus was not yet glorified. In the 5th chapter, there's a man who's had a sickness for 34 years. He's tried all sorts. Well, he tried to get to the well. If anyone came and into the the pool, I should say, if they came into the pool, they were healed of whatever disease they had. But he couldn't manage it, he couldn't make it. He tried again. He says, when I would go, he says, somebody gets in front of it, someone. It's like being on the road. There's no clear way. There's no clear way in this world. Everybody's selfish. So he said, what would you have us to do? And the Lord spoke the word. Spoke the word, and for 34 years he had had the sickness. And then the complaint because he had done it on the Sabbath day. Oh, what is man? That thou art mindful of him. In Luke's Gospel, in the 7th chapter of Luke's Gospel, he was telling us about John the Baptist and they accused John the Baptist of having the devil and he says to them, you know, he says, what you're like, he says, you're like children in the marketplace. You know what children do? They go one toy to another, from one toy to another. They play with a toy for about 10 minutes and chuck it away, and then they get another one. He says, you're like children in the marketplace. You've danced here and you haven't had any joy. And he says, the Son of God came drinking and eating, and you say, behold, he's a gluttonous man and a wine giver, a friend of publicans and sinners. Oh, he's the Saviour. He's the Saviour. He don't have to be taught things. You can't teach God anything. Well, have you come to the Saviour? The Gospel's all about the Saviour. It's a wonderful thing, the Gospel. We're reading about the house of God, and that's wonderful. They both go together. They both go together, the house of God and the Gospel. You get that in the 14th of Luke, in the 15th of Luke, in the 16th of Luke, in the 13th of Luke. He says in the 13th of Luke to the Jews, oh Jerusalem, he says, Jerusalem, how often would I have gathered thee? He says, a hen gathers, and you won't. You would not. He says, a hen gathers its brood under its wing, and you would not. He says, your house, is left unto you desolate. Then he tells us about the man who makes the supper. In the 14th chapter, and that man, he gives his servants, he issues them with orders, go out and invite them to come in. What do they do when they're invited to come in? What do they do? Oh, what a hard heart man's got. Hard heart. Jesus was making lowly in heart. They all began to make excuses. One says, I've bought a bit of ground, and I've got to check it over. Another one says, I've married a wife, and I can't come. People don't tell you the reason of things, they tell you the excuse. They make an excuse, they don't tell you the reason. Unless you belong to the Lord. And when you belong to the Lord, that makes a difference. We're hearing from George, a lovely scripture from the Romans epistle about salvation. Salvation's just not getting your soul saved, it is that, and going to heaven, and forgiveness, and I'll go to heaven, and that's all, that's what we're, it's not that. God saves me every day. You know what he saves me mostly from? Self. That's the biggest stumbling block. But anyway, George was telling us about the fifth chapter of Romans, where you've changed your man, you've got a new man. The man that's brought in righteousness. Adam didn't bring in righteousness. He brought in sin and guilt. But the Lord Jesus brought in righteousness, and by one man's righteousness, many are saved. Then in the sixth chapter, he tells us about the two masters, as George was saying. You know, whatever you do, you're the servant of that what you do. If you sin in, you're sin servant. If you do what's right, you're the servant of righteousness. So you get a new master. And then in the seventh chapter, you get a new husband. You can only get a new husband when the other one's dead, when the other one's died. They got it all wrong the way they go on the world today. And then in the eighth chapter, new life. Salvation's real. To know the Lord Jesus Christ is real. When I get up in the morning, by God's grace, I praise the Lord. I can go out and I do my garden. I hadn't a clue about gardens. I didn't know a weed from a daisy, or a daisy from a daffodil. I didn't know a thing. But the Lord showed me. I've learned a lot just by His help. And when I go out, I've got no quarrels with anybody. There's nobody. The Lord doesn't want. He wants you to have His joy. He wants you to have His love. He wants you to have His peace. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. What a wonderful thing peace is. When you see a man who's got peace of mind. And when they see me on the road, I've got a lot of friends. I don't know what it is. Oh, good morning. The old man's doing his garden, and I give them a word. I give them a word and tell them that the Lord's enabled me to do these things. And He wants you. He doesn't want anything from you. He wants you. Why does He want you? Because He loves you. He loves you so much that He sent His Son into this world. People say, how can God be loved? Somalia, look what's going on in Somalia. Look what's going on in Czechoslovakia. Look what's going on in Northern Ireland. Look what's going on in America. The lunatics there, they're in America. And he says, look what's going on here and look what's going on there. I say to them, look to Calvary. What went down there? What went on there? And you know, in the big city, just imagine if there was a big city of London or Edinburgh or Glasgow, and there was three men going to be hung on a gibbet, there would be crowding there. In the psalm, it says, look in the psalm. He was in between two malefactors. And not one believed except one of the thieves. They went away and they forgot all about him. Went to walk back to their own homes. Oh, God loves the world. The sinner's lost. He loves the world. We can't give an explanation to everything. We can't get everything that we would like, and everything rosy and everything like that we like. But today there's a need of the gospel, and I tell you, dear brethren, may God help you and me to speak to that neighbour and tell them that God loves them. And you love them as well. You see a neighbour that you don't like, he's done such nasty things. You try loving him. Try loving him. God does. Thou shalt love thy neighbour as thyself. It's still valid. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. That's still valid. That hasn't been set aside. When the law came by Moses, it was given, rather, it didn't come. It was given. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. But it's not the law now. It's grace. Grace reigns through righteousness unto eternal life. And God's grace can't be measured. It's infinite. And of course, the grace of our Lord Jesus, in Corinthians it says, though He was rich. How rich was he? He had abundance of riches. That's what it means. If a person's rich, he became poor. He through his poverty might become rich. I don't mean best clothes and money in the bank. I've never been as well off in my life as regards material. But riches, the Lord says, the real riches, one of the riches I'm giving you, he says, the real riches, the real, and not plastic money, the real riches. Says that to the church leaders here, didn't he? He says, he gives them real riches. Oh, if you haven't come to Jesus tonight, pray that you will come to him and put your trust in him. And if you have come to Jesus, let us all seek to follow him. He says, follow me, Peter. What's that to thee? Follow thou me. He says, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. I can't tell a person how to live. I haven't got the authority. I can't say you shouldn't be living there, you should be living here. I can't tell you that, you can't tell for me. But the Lord Jesus can. The Lord Jesus can. He says, I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish. And he loved the sheep. He loved them so much that he died for them. If he hadn't died for them, they couldn't have had eternal life. They could never have had eternal life if he hadn't given his life for the sheep. I will finish on that wonderful scripture that we read in Timothy. First Epistle to Timothy. According to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which, verse 11, which was committed to my trust, I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who hath enabled me, counted me faithful in putting me in the ministry. Oh, what a ministry. What a ministry. What a ministry of the Saviour. What a ministry of the Saviour. You sing a hymn.